Welcome to Let's Talk Fleet Risk, a podcast for those who manage drivers and their vehicles and want to reduce road risk in their organisation. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Fleet Risk. My guest for this episode of the podcast is Gareth Jones, who's the Group Fleet Compliance Manager at Speedy Asset Services. Welcome to the podcast, Gareth.
Thank you very much indeed.
So Speedy Asset Services is the most recent good management case study that we've published on the Driving for Better Business website. And I'm going to talk to Gareth now about some of that in more detail. So I guess, Gareth, my first question is, you've been with Speedy for a long time. So perhaps you could start with a summary of how you came to be involved in driver safety in the first place and fleet compliance and what your role entails at Speedy.
Thank you very much, Simon. Yeah, my journey into transport and fleet and driver training started many, many moons ago when I was employed with Her Majesty's Armed Forces. And from there, I spent a lot of time at DHL International in the driver training department. And I first came to Speedy in 2007 as the driver trainer. And stayed there for just short of 7 years, covering all aspects of driver training, driver behaviour training, CPC, which had just come in, and accident management training, and various other training courses. I then left the business for just over 18 months, and then came back to the business as the Group Fleet Compliance Manager, where my role then involved the HGV and van compliance, road risk manager, and also duties around driver behaviours and dangerous goods safety advisor.
So it's obviously a fairly complex role because you're running over 1,000 vehicles at Speedy, and they're not all just simple vans. You've got lots of specialist vehicles in there as well. Open back vehicles, for instance, where safe loading is critical. What are the key safety and compliance challenges that you face as part of your sort of day-to-day operations?
The key challenges are is that we must make sure that everybody who uses the road is always safe. That includes our drivers, but it includes all of the vulnerable road users at the same time. We all have a duty of care to make sure that everybody's safe at all times. So we ensure that our drivers go through a load security training program for various different types of vehicles. So we have a load security training for our tanker drivers. Some people won't class that as a load, but it is a load because it's liquid. We have a load security course called the light side for our transit van drivers. And we have a heavy load security course for our heavy side drivers. We also have a load security course for our powered access side of the division, which is run through the International Powered Access Federation. And all of that is captured on our internal training portal, so people can log in and see the progress, which has expiry dates and completion dates, etc.
Safe and secure loading, I think, is one of the main challenges on the road for most fleets. I think a lot of vehicles that get stopped by the DVSA and the enforcement authorities are often overweight, and it's often not managed. So it's really good to see you've got so many procedures and training programs in place to ensure that you've got that all covered.
Safety is at the heart of everything Speedy do. We have a simple rule: fit one extra strap just in case.
Yeah, wise words. So if we look a bit more at the case study, if we look at how you manage driver behaviour first, your case study shows a 13% reduction in collisions in 2022 over 2021, and a really impressive 90% recovery of uninsured losses. What have you been doing that has helped you achieve those results?
So I think what you must first look at when you look at driver behaviour is you need the data to understand where the driving behaviours can have wins. And with regard to wins, if you think about speeding, well, if somebody's speeding, what normally comes after that is a harsh braking event. So if you look at the harsh braking event and the speeding events together as almost one event, you'll get two actual subjects that you can cover off. And again, it's just simple things like, you know, speaking with the drivers, looking at the time of days that the speeding events are happening, looking at the level of the speeding event, looking at the harsh braking event. You know, that's not to say that all harsh braking events are a bad thing, because if somebody has seen something like a ball or a child run out from the side of the road and a harsh braking event happens, then that's a good thing, because that means they've seen it, they've observed it. But talking to our drivers and going through their driving behaviour, we send out monthly reports to the chief operating officer, and that's cascaded all the way down through to the depot manager, who then speaks with the drivers. And we manage that locally with regard to our reduction. With regard to our recovery from our uninsured losses, we have a fantastic claims manager who came into the business nearly 4 or 5 years ago now. And we now actively manage our uninsured loss recovery, or should I say, she manages that side of the business. And like I say, she does it very, very well. And to the point where, like I say, she managed to get in excess of five figures back last year. Excellent. And I think it's an area that sometimes some people forget to actually claim back.
And it can make a huge difference to the bottom line and allow you to then invest that in other areas, doesn't it? So
exactly.
You were talking about speeding and harsh braking events, and obviously all of that data comes from systems like telematics and cameras and such like fitted to the vehicles. And that's clearly something that all vehicle operators should be looking at. And I think with nearly all of the really impressive case studies that we've published on the Driving for Better Business website, it's that kind of technology that's assisted all those operators in achieving those really decent results. And operators that don't use telematics and cameras, the impression often is that there might be some pushback from drivers in implementing that. So, you know, how did you go about implementing telematics and cameras and engaging the drivers, and what lessons maybe you learned that would be useful for other operators?
With telematics, we've had telematics in our vehicles since 2009, and the relative very little pushback from the telematics as I can remember back then, from our first time at Speedy, and the like with any telematics data, it's like a phone; it does go out of signal, and there are areas of the country where sometimes the telematic data does drop its signal, or you can get what's called a dual speed alert. So, for instance, you can be driving up the A168 in North Yorkshire, or you can be driving on the A1. And if you're driving on the A1, the speed limit's 70, but if you're on the 168, it's only 50. But because both roads run parallel, you sometimes do get a bit of a discrepancy. But unless businesses are willing to fit the telematics, you're never going to truly understand driver behavior to the point where you can then start to better manage it. With regard to the cameras, we first installed cameras into our vehicles in early 2013 to be compliant with the new FORS regulations and clocks. And subsequently then we've now increased our cameras to we have left, right, front, rear, load and driver facing. We have then subsequently integrated our camera system company into our telematic system company, so that in the event of a harsh event where the G-force has been triggered, that will automatically then download the footage 5 seconds before, during and after. And that alert is then sent through to myself, the fleet director and the claims manager for us to then view the footage.
Yeah, you've got to be able to sort of see the context around each of those events.
Yeah, and what that does, it gives us what we call our almost golden hour to deal with, you know, the sort of like the third party if we're deemed as liable. But it also means that we can then better understand how the incident has taken place to then interview the driver.
So the cameras are obviously vital piece of equipment on the vehicles. Do you put any other safety technology into the vehicles?
Yeah, every day is a new day at Speedy. And like I said earlier, safety is at the heart of everything we do. We're always on the lookout for the next bit of technology. We've already decided to fit the new AI cameras, which now supersede side scan. So these actually take away the need for side scan at the front of the vehicle. What that does, it takes away the false alerts with it. It's constantly buzzing off for rainwater, flies, cars, street furniture, rain, dust. The new AI cameras actually, you know, identify a hazard. So that's really good. So we fitted those. We've recently installed a system which is called the FOSS, the Cycle Safety System. FOSS is FHOSS. That's a system whereby it illuminates an orange laser line down the left-hand side of the vehicle, 1 meter away from the vehicle. That's only shown during when the vehicle's turning left on the indication.
And that's to give road users and pedestrians and cyclists
more visibility. The more visibility you can give to a cyclist, you know, and vulnerable road users of the vehicle's intentions, then you know, it's better for all road users. Like I said earlier, the safety of all road users is paramount to Speedy, not just ourselves.
So I want to get on now to what was the key piece for me, and that's that we're publishing this podcast and your case study as part of our quarterly focus, which this quarter is on leadership and business benefits. So I wanted to ask how engaged your board and senior leadership and the team is when it comes to managing driver safety, and how supportive they are to you and your team with any new initiatives that you might want to pursue.
First and foremost, the fleet director, Aaron Powell, used to do my role. So the support from him comes naturally because he's been where I've been. But our CEO, Dan Evans, has worked in various positions around the Speedy business, in sales. He's also worked in the hire desk as a depot. He's even been a driver at one point. And I have great admiration for Dan that he supports everything that myself and Aaron and the fleet team do. And it's his words that said safety is at the heart of everything Speedy do.
So I know you're very proud of the fact that Speedy's whole fleet has been accredited to Fours Gold. I think yep. nine years now. I think that's
yeah 9 years now. Yeah.
So and what I was impressed with is that you don't just put the drivers through the course; you put the managers through the courses as well. So why is that important?
If you're going to manage a driver, there's no point putting a driver on a course if you don't understand the importance of the course and what it's going to deliver itself. Having the knowledge of the objectives that the course will give to the driver is not only beneficial to all of the road users, it's beneficial to you that you manage drivers. And our managers do sometimes use our vehicles, so why not? Training is a free subject when it's internal, and what better can you get from upskilling your skills and knowledge in an area that, like I said earlier, can benefit all other road users?
And road safety is a shared responsibility, isn't it?
It's a shared responsibility. Everybody needs to be safe. So, you know, we put, you know, everybody does the force training. Even some of our staff who just take a van home at night because there's nowhere safe to leave the vehicle at night, they will do the force training, the pedestrian safe, the cycle safety, and all other training that goes with it.
Yeah, no, it's very good. So for any fleet managers looking to better engage their board, you're lucky in the support that you have and the understanding they have in that subject. Not everybody's in such a position. There's plenty of fleet managers and driver safety managers who don't have that support. Success, as far as I see it, generally comes from being able to measure and monitor fleet activity properly so that you can quantify the risk and measure any improvements and basically present that to the board as a business case for improvement. So what are the key metrics you focus on? How do you monitor and report on that?
So we monitor on driver behavior, we monitor on tachograph infringement, And we also have something called a post-accident review group meeting. So every month we gather all the information from our accidents, post-accidents. We review all the data and we look for the blame. So whether that be a full driver blame, third party blame, 50-50, we then decide on a course of action for that, whether that be online driver training, whether that be a classroom training or whether that will be a one-to-one driver training day, or subsequently whether that needs to go to the next step in line with the policy. But it's about having the data to look into your driver's behavior. You know, you can't just sit down with a driver and say you were speeding. You need to look at when and where he was speeding, how long he was speeding. And then, like I say, understand why he was speeding, but also, as well, explain the dangers of speeding as well.
Yeah. How closely do you work with your insurers, for instance, on understanding the incident data, claims data?
Very well. So we work really well with our insurer. And you know, it's through our insurer that we initially put our post-accident review group together. That includes myself, the road risk manager, Aaron Powell, the fleet director, our claims manager, but it also includes somebody from HR and somebody from health and safety. So there's a clear, you know, there's an unbiased decision of which direction we should take the person who's been involved in an accident in. That's held monthly. And like I say, we get buy-in from our insurer because we actively, you know, we actively look at each incident. Don't just treat it as an incident. You have to look past the incident.
It's really good. And again, that's reinforcing the shared responsibility by getting those other roles in the business.
I don't know whether you can publish it, Simon. Every accident is an invitation to an incident or an accident. It's up to you whether you turn up for it.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. Very good. Great lessons, I think, in that discussion for some of the other fleet managers and driver safety managers who are listening today. So, Gareth, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome, Simon, anytime.
I will put links to both Speedy's website in the show notes and also links to the case study that we've just published. So there's more data in there talking around some of the points that Gareth and I have discussed in this discussion. So once again, thank you all for listening. And Gareth, thank you again for your time.
Thanks, everybody.
If you manage drivers and their vehicles and you face similar issues to those discussed in this podcast, there are links in the show notes to some useful resources on the Driving for Better Business website, and these are all free to access. If you enjoyed the conversation, please don't forget to hit subscribe so you know when the next episode is released. And please also give us a 5-star review, as this helps us to get up the podcast rankings and makes it more visible to others who might also find it useful. You can follow us, that's Driving for Better Business, on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn. And most importantly, please help us to spread the word. All our resources are free for those who manage fleets and their employees who drive for work. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Fleet Risk, and I look forward to welcoming you to the next episode.
Brought to you by Driving for Better Business.